Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Larimer, joined today by Mr. Terence Corrigan. Terence, how are you doing?
I'm okay, Nicholas.
Good, good. And also Mr. Marius Ruiz. Marius, how are you?
How's it, guys?
Hello, apologies for those watching live. We started a little bit late because we were arguing about what to do for our last story. But we'll get to that. We have made a decision. But let's talk once again about
left in the air as we, decided we had to get this show on the road.
Oh yeah, well I've made a decision.
What are we winging this? That's not like us.
No, we never wing the show, never at all. So let's talk, of course, about the biggest ongoing story of this week, which is the Government of National Unity and the road bumps it seems to be hitting as it heads towards the announcement of a cabinet. So apparently, either as we speak or just before we went on air, Cyril Ramaphosa and John Steenhuisen had a meeting to discuss cabinet positions and the way forward in the Government of National Unity. Now, there's been some tension between the ANC and DA in the lead up to today's meeting. The DA was unhappy that it was not consulted about some of the new parties joining the Government of National Unity, particularly the Patriotic Alliance, who the ANC had initially not discussed with the DA as a potential member. And the DA said that there was a requirement to seek consensus with members of the Government of National Unity as per the agreement they signed. The ANC said, no, the agreement isn't in force yet. It only comes into force once we've formed the government, which is a little bit strange thing to say considering they've already voted for the president and the speaker in parliament. So anyway, regardless, that has been a pretty nasty fight in public. And behind the scenes, there's also been a lot of tension over which portfolios and cabinet positions and how many cabinet positions different parties are going to get. The DA is looking to get at least 7 cabinet posts in the next government. And the ANC seems much happier to give them only 4, which the DA says is basically out of line with the agreement that the parties be represented broadly in terms of their proportional vote share, which means that the ANC should have presumably twice as many seats as the DA, etc., etc. The IFP, for its part, seems to be kind of trying to balance everything here and make everyone play nice with each other, positioning themselves as a sort of quiet, moderate negotiating force in the room. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. But first, let's just talk about the cabinet. So it's not clear when the cabinet is going to be announced. There's some discussion that it may be announced soon, maybe next week, possibly. There's some speculation that today the Gauteng government will announce its cabinet. And once again, there are discussions, impasses there, where the DA and ANC can't agree on what portfolio should go to whom. The DA is apparently asking for, I think it was community safety, local government, and education. And the ANC says, none of these are far too strategic. We're going to give them finance, agriculture, and sport, which, finance, that's kind of important. But sport and agriculture, I'm not sure the DA is going to be too happy with that. The IFP apparently almost tanked the negotiations in Gauteng when they said they wanted a member of the executive committee post themselves in the province, which the ANC didn't want to budge on. Well, this is all going to come to a bit of a head now. Ramaphosa is also going to be meeting this afternoon Vilakosini Hlabisa, the leader of the IFP, to discuss his position on the GNU and how things are going forward. Terence, doesn't seem like a very happy marriage so far. Do you think there's a possibility they'll be able to iron out these differences? What do you make of this?
Well, I think that it's important to keep this in perspective. First of all, these are parties that have been at each other's throats for, decades. Prior to the election, I think that most people would have balked at the idea that it would be possible for them to get this far. So I think, you know, you're seeing what are inevitable tensions, but I think it would probably be naive to expect it all to be even smoother sailing. On the other hand, I think that the ANC is very, very used to getting its own way. You know, it was the notorious Fikile Mbalula interview with Clement Manyathela. Everyone should watch that, and then the one that with Helen Ziller coming directly after that, because it's been a big news story. And what struck me there was, well, you know, we're used to this because we had a Zapo, and we had Good, and we had, you know, these. The point is that where the ANC has done this before, for the most part, these have been relationships where it's been able to give something as a gift. And I think that there is still something within its mindset that makes it very hard to shift out of that. So yes, you know, and I think that the DA had to take it on trust that it would be properly accommodated, because you can have an agreement with a handshake or on paper, but ultimately, yes, the president and the premiers do have the prerogative to appoint their own executive. So there's nothing inherently says that they could they might not just decide, well, you know, you can have sport and agriculture and whatever, you know, all the little bitty unimportant portfolios. And certainly in the run up to the election, there were ANC sympathetic commentators like Milani Pavut who seemed to suggest that this was as much as the DA should expect. You know, the important stuff was, you know, nerve, you're not going to be on the table. And you must be realistic. I think that the DA has taken a massive risk. And if this is how the ANC wants to play it going forward, then I don't think that there's any meaningful possibility of them them remaining. And I think that will be very bad for, you know, what I suppose you could broadly call the center of South African politics. So, interesting times.
Indeed. I mean, you know, it's not very encouraging that these parties negotiate very furiously to sign this deal. And then suddenly ANC spokespeople start saying to the media, well, you know, the deal can't supersede the president's capacity and constitutional power to appoint whoever he wants to cabinet. And you go, wait, hold on. What was the point of signing the deal then if he's just going to do whatever he wants?
The deal would, to my mind, provide a moral and political ring fence around those and orientation around those powers. That would certainly be my understanding, to say, well, you know, he still has a completely free hand. There's nothing you can do. Yeah. That
exactly.
Does sound like bad faith.
I mean, it's really, one is really beginning to wonder what the ANC's sort of plan is here, because I don't think there's a realistic possibility, at least in the short term, of the EFF joining the government if the DA leaves, in which case the ANC will be short of a parliamentary majority. Now, yes, Ramaphosa is the president, so they don't have to worry about that for at least for a while. But if they don't have a majority in parliament, it's going to open them up to an enormous amount of trouble, not least the fact that the entire opposition could cooperate together to call for, you know, committees of inquiry, and they could pull every single, you know, MK, the EFF, and the DA could cooperate together to pull members of parliament before the various committees, and it would just be a nightmare for the ANC. They wouldn't be able to pass anything. So I don't know what their plan is, if there is one, if they're going to be kind of playing silly games with the deal here. Marius, what do you make of this? And also, what do you make of the IFP's kind of role here? The IFP says that they don't really want to get involved in this fight between the ANC and the DA except to diffuse tensions. In a statement that they put out, they said that IFP President Vilenkosini Hlabisa has tasked the IFP's coalition's negotiations team to engage with both parties, and they believe that there's an urgent need for a meeting between the DA, ANC, and IFP to iron out differences and interpretation of the deal. What's your thoughts on this?
I just want to say, I think it's quite interesting how the IFP has kind of changed the way it approaches South African politics and amended its image. People remember in the early 1990s, the IFP was very opposed to actually the transition and so on. They almost didn't take part in the first, in the 1994 election. And there were real, there was real concerns that the IFP could push South Africa to the brink of civil war, especially in Natal, and push for things like the secession of KwaZulu-Natal and all that kind of stuff. But since then, they've kind of set themselves as the often the adults in the room. They seem to have been quite, you know, in general, they've been pretty mature and so on with for the last couple of years, actually, not just recently. I mean, if I heard you right, you said they did ask for a MEC post in Gauteng, which I think is a bit ridiculous, as they only got one seat in the Gauteng legislature. So I think that is being a bit silly, but we are going to see this kind of silly stuff happening. But we also, we must also remember that
I think what complicates things is the fact that it's not entirely clear how much this agreement is about provinces and how much of it is about national. Because if you're kind of looking at things on a national basis, that this deal covers all spheres of government, then the IFP is probably right to ask for an executive position in Gauteng. But if it really is just focused on national and it's got not that much to do with the provinces, then you're right. It is silly for a party with one seat to try and ask for representation in the executive.
Yeah, but overall, I think it's, even though this new is pretty, it does seem built on quite shoddy foundations at the moment. I think the fact that we managed to get to where we are in the 3 weeks since the election is actually still something to be, it's something to be proud of, and it's quite an achievement. As we all know, in other countries, coalition, the time to, agree on government coalitions and so on, the time that's allowed is much more than the 2 weeks that you have to do in South Africa. I mean, in parts of Europe, countries have gone for over a year without a coalition government being formed because the negotiations are, you know, still ongoing and so on. So overall, I think, you know, there's a lot to criticize here, but I think we also have to remember that this has been done with the extreme time pressures, and the ANC is playing silly buggers to a degree. But I think they also, as Terence says, they haven't really, I don't think they've come to grips with the new political reality. As I think Terence made a very good point, that in the past, things like cabinet posts were handed out as kind of gifts and as patronage. And that isn't the case anymore. They're not the dominant party in South Africa anymore. And they've got to give proper cabinet posts, or at least agree to certain legislative agendas and so on. Of course, I mean, they're still the biggest party by far in the country and in the new. So obviously, their legislative agenda should take priority to a degree, but there have to be compromises.
No, that's exactly right. I think one of the reasons the DA was unhappy about the PA potentially joining the negotiations, the GNU rather, without their consent, is that there's sort of this question of, well, you know, if you're a small party with, let's say, 9 seats in parliament, like the PA has, how many cabinet posts do you get? Do you get one? Do you get none? At what point do you not get a cabinet post, right? With the sort of agreement says something about broad proportionality. And would the ANC then say, well, you know, we gave the opposition in total 10 cabinet posts, so you should be happy. But then the DA finds itself with, I don't know, 4, the IFP with 2, and then like the Freedom Front Plus and the PA with 1. That seems like a very good way for the ANC to just kind of play all of the smaller parties off against each other.
Well,
and I don't think that's really going to fly.
I think what you're talking about are gnomes in the new. And I think that there's a... this is about narrative formation. You know, first of all, we say, well, we must all work together. But that's not quite how politics functions. People do, you know, have different views, and politics is how they fight them out without shooting each other. We'll bring everyone on board. Well, who's saying everyone can work together? You know, so, and you're quite correct. If you're a 1 or 2 seat party, or 1 seat party, like, good, you know. And we're going to have, and cabinet posts are going to be handed out proportionately. You need a cabinet of like 200 people to get, you know, to shoehorn that proportion in. So no, look, I think maybe this is also a time when the high-minded among us should also stand up for the principle that you know, we should, some people should do this for the good of the country, not because they're going to get they're going to get a significant seat at the table.
I mean, I'm reminded of what Fikile Mbalula, the ANC Secretary General, said on the you know, shortly after the announcement of the results. He said, "There's no use us strutting about like peacocks, acting like we've won when we haven't." Something along those lines. And I mean, I kind of feel as though I wish the ANC would take that to heart, because, you know, not that I often heap praise on Fikile Mbalula, but he at least seems to have recognized that the political balance of forces is not quite what it was. And the ANC has to choose. We've said this over and over again on this show. They are not the king anymore. They cannot do things by themselves. So are they going to go with the radicals of MK and EFF? That's a path they could take. Terrible path, but it's a path they could take. Or are they going to go with the center and the center right of the political spectrum and maybe actually rescue this country from its terrible policy positions? Just sitting in the middle and pretending like you're still, you know, the undisputed masters of all South African politics is not going to get you anywhere very quickly. And I think the ANC will find that out the very hard way when they start to get parliament used against them as a club if they don't make this GNU thing work. Maurice, do you agree?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. And Fikile Mbalula's, I think his statement was good. And I think there was acceptance in the ANC. It's not the juggernaut it was in the past. But I think, you know, it's going through the seven stages of grief. And I don't think the ANC is quite at acceptance yet. And I think they were almost there, but I think they're kind of pushing back against it. And acceptance will hopefully come in the next couple of weeks, because if it doesn't, as you say, it's going to be difficult to make the new GNU. I mean, we need to find out how you pronounce this thing. It's going to work if the ANC carries on acting as if they're a 60% party, not a 40% party.
No, exactly.
Let's
right.
go with government of national unity.
yeah, I see lots of people wanted to call it a wildebeest or something because of GNU, but I'm sure the public will settle on something at some point. I'm just going to keep calling it basically anything that I feel like at the time until the consensus seems to be in. Okay,
sorry, Nick, can I just quickly interrupt? Yes. There's a comment here saying Marius pro Tizzle England, and because England is playing South Africa a bit later. And I've said my heart says South Africa, but my head says England, unfortunately.
Well, let's hope that it is not England. Yeah, look, as for the government of national unity, the GNU, we're going to probably find out, I think, over the weekend whether this thing is going to stick. I'm sure that meeting with Steenhuisen and Ramaphosa today, when we find out the details of it, you know, maybe by the time you're watching this, that will be out in the news. We'll see whether this thing is actually going to hold together, because, you know, if the ANC just gives the DA sport, women, children and disabilities and agriculture, I'm sorry, but like, that's just not going to, no, you know, only the most insane political party would stay in government for, you know, on that alone. Okay, let's move on to our next story. And this is a story we've talked about a couple of times on the show, but it just keeps coming back. And it is one of the big looming crises. And it actually does connect a little bit to how the government of national unity functions. So the city of Johannesburg has been in a dispute with Eskom over its electricity bill. The city of Joburg says that Eskom has charged it far too much money. And they have not paid their bill to Eskom since October of 2023. Eskom has said that it doesn't matter whether they dispute the bill, they have to pay it, and then there can be negotiations later as to whether this the amount is correct. The High Court in Johannesburg, I think it was yesterday, has ordered that the city of Johannesburg and City Power have to pay their outstanding debt to Eskom. No ifs or buts or coconuts. Eskom says that while originally they were owed 1 billion rand by the end of March, this payment has grown to 3.4 billion rand by the end of June, basically. And ESCOM says that it wants to be paid immediately. To quote the ESCOM spokesperson, ESCOM has written a letter to the COJ/City Power demanding payment of the full amount of 3.4 billion rand by June 21st. We hope they will respect the court decision and settle all outstanding debts to ESCOM. So that's today. We are increasingly facing the prospect that ESCOM will have no choice but to cut the city of Johannesburg's power supply off if they do not pay. I have no idea if the city of Joburg has the money right now to pay this bill. And with a court option against them, I'm not really sure what their next steps would be other than pay. So we don't know if that's going to happen, and I'm pretty sure that the ANC is going to pull every lever it can to make sure that ESCOM never does such a thing, because it would be disastrous for the country's economy and the country's prestige. But this, I think, shows that, you know, while we sort of fight over, you know, how government is going to be positioned and all that sort of thing, the crisis is only growing larger in many parts of the country. And we need to sort this out sooner rather than later. Now, how does the Government of National Unity fit into this at local government? Well, there's been some discussion that the Government of National Unity agreement should filter down to provinces and municipalities in order to stabilize them. We've already seen it filter down to the provinces. In Gauteng and KZN, the ANC, DA, and IFP have formed a coalition together and elected governments based off of that. But should this also be extended to local government? Currently, the city of Johannesburg is governed by a coalition of the ANC, EFF, Patriotic Alliance, Al Jamaha, and I think one or two other small parties. Should the ANC dump those coalition partners and go into business with the DA? Morris, what are your thoughts?
Firstly, I want to say I don't care about Joburg because I live on the eastern side of the N3. God's own country and the sunlit uplands of... Nah, of course I'm joking.
The balance of power in Ekurhuleni is almost exactly the same.
Let's not go there. We're talking about Joburg here now. We're not talking about Ekurhuleni. Come on. It's a big problem.
The decaying industrial heartland, yes.
It's quite concerning. And I mean, for Johannesburg, for all its all the problems, it's still the biggest city in South Africa, and it produces, I mean, I don't know exactly what, but probably by itself, it produces over 10% of South Africa's GDP. So it's, yeah, and it just tells you how the city's been run into the ground. I'm not sure that's extending the kind of, if there is now a proper agreement between the DA and the ANC at national level, I'm not sure it's a good idea to extend it down to various municipalities. I think that should be a decision made within each municipality. For example, in a place like Tshwane, which the DA seems to be turning around pretty slowly, but it's happening, there seems to be a fairly stable DA-led coalition there without the ANC or any other or the other comrade parties, to coin a phrase that our colleague Jonathan Katzenbergen uses. I think it would be quite problematic if the ANC and DA went into coalition in Tshwane and Celia Brink, the mayor of Tshwane, to now bring in a couple of ANC MMCs and so on. So it's all quite complicated, I think, but I don't think these agreements should be extended down to local level. But something has to happen in Joburg. I mean, I think an ANC-DA coalition would maybe be the solution for Joburg, and maybe in Ekurhuleni as well. So these are the things that I think they've got to be looked at a case-by-case basis. But things, I mean, Joburg can't carry on as they are. What's happening in Joburg is because of this ANC-EFF coalition. You know, they voted in two mayors who are obviously not fit, not up to the job, in Tapelo Ahmad, and then he was replaced by Kabela Gwamanda, who really doesn't seem like the kind of person you want to be running Johannesburg with its huge budget and the fire and responsible for the lives of 5 million people or whatever Joburg's population is now. So yeah, and I think we might see more of this kind of stuff. It's going to be interesting if we have we'll see a lot of this with the national government being fighting against stuff happening at local governments, I think. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see if national government manages to push back against ESCOM doing this. I think they probably, it'd be an absolute disaster if Joburg's electricity gets cut off. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, Kwabelo Gumanda, as the mayor of Joburg, particularly got up my nose when he called people complaining about the massive water outage across many parts of Joburg for days and days, saboteurs, because they were trying to undermine his glorious and wonderful government. He's such... I'm not going to indulge myself, because if I start, I won't. I won't slow down. Let's just say, as a resident, I've not been very happy with him as a mayor. And while I am extremely skeptical of an ANCDA coalition in Joburg, for a complicated set of reasons, I think that at a local government level, actually, those parties probably would work even worse together than they would at national government. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but that's sort of my feeling of it. I kind of struggle to imagine how much worse the city administration could be than having Kwabelo Gumanda as your mayor. Terence, what do you make of this?
Look, I think that something that needs to be borne in mind is that the sort of lower down the food chain you go, I think the less ideological things become, both in terms of people's orientation and also the way governance works. I think that applies also to the pathologies. Now, someone told me that one of the issues that an incoming government has, speaking from the point of view, let's say, of the DA taking over, is that, yes, at the lower rungs, you do have the ideologues and the trade unionists for whom the DA is white monopoly capital. Go up the rungs, though, you start to encounter these guys who are effectively now plants of criminal syndicates. They may be ANC deployees, but really the ANC is like 25th on their list of priorities. They are taking backhanders, you know, to make sure contracts go to the right people, that, you know, funds are being laundered. I think at the moment this would probably be a bridge too far. I think if there are going to be those sort of coalitions, they need to be organic and organized at local level. You know, maybe, you know, they're quite possibly. I don't think maybe in smaller municipalities there may be ANC factions who, for whatever reason, maybe it's just for political survival, who actually say we can't go on like this. We do need to excise the more terrible elements, and the DA can help us make up the numbers, no matter what we may think of them and their politics. I think in a city like Johannesburg, that's much more difficult. But here's the thing: Joburg is in a sense too big to fail. So I'm not living in fear that my power is going to be cut off because of that. I'm living in fear that it's going to fail. But I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I do think the political pressure on Eskom to not cut off Joburg's power will be so immense that they probably won't do such a thing. But not collecting money from your biggest city is, shall we say, not great for Eskom's already fraught bottom line.
No, it's a disaster. It's a disaster. But I don't know. I think that we still have some road to pothole before we run out of road.
Maurice, any final thoughts on this?
No, I think you guys have covered it, and I think Terence makes a good point that Joburg is effectively too big to fail, and there'll be loads of political pressure on Eskom. But, you know, also 4 weeks ago, I would have said the chances of an ANC-DA coalition are close to zero, and look where we're sitting now, so you never know.
Can I just add something?
Go ahead.
As some people may know, I'm a fan of German literature, and I was reading a play by the sort of classical German author Friedrich Schiller. And this line there, "Spät kommt ihr, doch ihr kommt." You've come late, but you've come. And I wonder if this could be the moment where that applies to South Africa.
Who knows? Yes,
I thought you were going to mention your other favorite German book, Terence, Mein Kampf.
Oh,
Mario,
gonna have to kick you for that impotence. But I think that the truth is the position is still in the sort of decision here. The ball, so to speak, is still in the ANC's court, and they just are refusing right now to play it in any direction. because I think for them, as you guys said earlier, you know, the ANC has not gotten through its stages of grief yet. But the country doesn't have a lot of time for them to make up their minds, so they should hurry up and do it. Anyway, Marius did not want to talk about our third story today, which was Judge President John Schlope, or former Judge President John Schlope, first judge to be impeached in South Africa's history, is going to be going to Parliament and having a new career in politics as the chief whip of the MK party. So isn't that wonderful? We're out of time, so we don't have to talk about that today. Thank you very much, everyone, for watching the show. I hope that you had a interesting time watching our rambling discussion here. And we will be back on Monday with hopefully news about whether we're actually going to have a real government of national unity, or whether, you know, the sort of wheels are going to be spinning again and we're back to the chaotic abyss. Yeah, exciting times.
Spät kommt ihr, doch ihr kommt.
There you go. All right. Cheers, everyone.